You're listening to the Flip Empire Show with Alex Pardo, episode 262.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
What's going on, my friends? Hope you guys are doing amazing today. And I have a jam-packed episode with my good friend, Carol Ellis. Guys, I'm really excited about having Carol on the show. She brings a tremendous amount of knowledge and experience and kind of has a very unique perspective because of her background and her area of expertise. So if you guys don't know who she is, she's currently the chief operating officer of Self-Directed Investor Society. She's also the editor-in-chief for REI Wire, which if you guys don't know, it's a daily news source for high-level and successful real estate investors. And she's also the founder of SDI Women. In addition, she has served as the editor-in-chief of the Brian Ellis Investing Letter, which is a really, really cool resource for us real estate investors. They actually have more than 700,000 subscribers worldwide, which is pretty impressive. And she was also the editor of Think Realty Magazine. So she has a very unique perspective. Again, she's also a real estate investor along with her husband, Brian. But because of the fact that she comes from a writing and reporting background and she's interviewed so many people and she just publishes amazing content, in addition to the fact that she herself is an investor, I think she brings a very fresh, unique perspective to what we're going to cover on today's show, which is, you know, where we're at in the market, where we're going, how you can insulate yourself and position yourself to succeed and profit from whatever happens with the market. We talk about using self-directed accounts and how to do real estate deals, how to protect yourself. And so I think you're really going to enjoy the episode, and let's dive right into it. Carol, how are you, my friend? It is amazing to finally get you on the show. How's everything going?
It's going really well. Thank you so much for having me, Alex. I'm really excited.
No, so it's funny, right? Because you and I were just talking a few minutes ago how, you know, we've known each other for years. I mean, you and I have worked together on different side projects, you know, when I was more involved in the information side of the business. And but you and I had actually never had a conversation, which is crazy to me because I feel like I know you pretty well.
Yeah, I was thinking about that too. I mean, I think I have known you almost 10 years at this point, and I've always just really admired how you put that business together in Florida and just everything that you're doing. So I'm really honored that you're having me on.
No, thank you so much. And I feel the same way about you. I mean, I highly respect you and everything you've accomplished. And I'm glad to, you know, we need more successful women entrepreneurs on the podcast. And so, you know, when I started thinking about one of my goals, Carol, is always to just bring the highest quality people, not just from like what they've accomplished, but just people with integrity. And you're somebody that immediately came to mind. I've known you for a long time. And not only are you very talented at what you do, but you're just somebody that operates with integrity, has a great reputation within the industry, not just you, but also your husband, Brian. And so I wanted to get you on here. Number one, you know, I know we're going to talk about, you have some interesting insights on the market. And guys, I think this show is going to be very valuable for you from the perspective that, you know, we all know that there's going to be a downturn in the market. Now, nobody has a crystal ball. We don't know what kind of impact that's going to have. Does it look like 2008? Does it look nothing like 2008? But, you know, how can we position ourselves? How can we be strategic to insulate our business from from being affected by the downturn? Especially if you're listening to the show, chances are you're a wholesaler or, you know, you're a flipper, and you may or may not have other sources of income. You may or may not have cash flow that comes in from other places. And so, Carol has, you know, just really valuable insight as far as what we can do to position ourselves, to take advantage of a downturn, not just survive and tread water. But before we kind of get into all that, Carol, for people that don't know who you are, maybe I kind of covered some of it in the introduction, but give people kind of an overview, how you even got started in this business and some of the different things you're involved in and what your business looks like today.
Sure. So I am at my heart a reporter and a writer. And I got started in real estate because I was the person that every single one of you listening really hates, because I got to the closing table and decided that was when I needed to read every word of my closing documents. I'm sorry. I apologize to you all. and that was, of course, that was in 2005. And I thought, you know what? I am never going to be in this position where I don't understand what I'm doing, and I'm making what was at that time absolutely the biggest purchase of my lifetime. So I started, I got my real estate license, and around the same time I met my husband, Brian, who had already been in real estate for over a decade. And over time, we started publishing a newsletter for real estate investors. We sent out daily news for years. I have been involved in a great deal of real estate content creation. If you bought one of the really good home study courses, I probably had something to do with it. And then it's just kind of gone from there. I spent several years as editor-in-chief of Think Realty Magazine, and now I work with my husband once again at Self-Directed Investor Society, and I'm our COO, and I am our news editor.
Amazing. And by the way, so, you know, I mentioned kind of a few minutes ago how talented you are. And so you and I got, you know, I got the pleasure of working with you, and you helped us out, you know, back in the day for our home study course. And we got such positive feedback from just the way the course was outlined and put together. And that was all credit to you. You just kind of made us look good. So, but kind of along those lines, you know, I think what's really cool, Kara, about, you know, what you bring to the table is that, you know, because of the newsletter that, you know, you run with your husband, Brian, you guys have hundreds and hundreds of thousands of subscribers, and you're kind of on the cutting edge, honestly, just as far as the quality of the content that you guys put out. So definitely want to, you know, mention that. And if it's okay with you, Kara, we'll also put a link in the show notes page so that people can subscribe to the newsletter and find out more about that, because, you know, you guys are always putting out quality content that's relevant and just not like recycled, you know what I mean? And regurgitated from all the other content sources out there.
And I should say also, that has been one of the biggest honors and also resources, is that reporting angle. Brian and I are investors. We have run private equity funds. We've done flips. We own turnkey rentals. You know, we've done a lot of things. But the other thing that is incredible, and that everyone listening should know, real estate investors are the most innovative, creative, practical, and frequently extremely stubborn people ever. And everybody has an incredibly unique strategic view on their real estate investing strategy. And one of the biggest advantages for me is that it's my job to speak to, you know, dozens, if not hundreds, every month and interview them. And, you know, then sort of try to break that down into something that the entire industry can use. So yeah. No, thank you to everyone who contributes to that, because it's huge.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that's actually a perfect kind of launching pad for where we're going to take the show here, is, you know, not just your knowledge, not just your experience and your insight, but you touched on it. The fact that, you know, you have an opportunity to interview a lot of, you know, successful, smart people. When you kind of combine all of that together and you lump it up into one, what are your thoughts, Carol, on, you know, what the market is going to do nationally? And then maybe we can kind of drill down to different, you know, markets, whether it's on the coast or whether it's, you know, in the Midwest, like just overall, what are your thoughts on where we're at in the market cycle today? And then kind of your opinion on where things are going in the next 6 to 12 months.
Sure. I think that on a national level, it's going to feel very different to homeowners, home buyers, and real estate investors, even though the same things are happening to all of us. I think homeowners, if they keep a level head, are going to still be in a really good position. There is no question that there is not enough inventory on a national level in housing, and there's certainly not enough affordable inventory. When I say affordable, I don't mean Section 8 or affordable housing. I mean housing that the median earner can buy, that is a median home in an area. So for a homeowner, especially one who is living in one of those relatively affordable type homes, If you keep a level head, you can still sell for a boatload of money. I think most of them aren't, because the boatload is going to be smaller than it was this time last year.
Sure.
For example. So I think that's going to lead to some price leveling in the single family sector, particularly. I think home buyers are probably about to start getting a little bit more demanding because they're seeing all these headlines. It says, oh, the market is cooling. I think they're actually going to start being more willing to walk away from some of the elevated prices. And that's actually probably going to contribute to, again, cooling. But when we all say cooling, we all think, oh my gosh, you know, it's another bust. It's not a, you know, housing markets don't skyrocket forever. Mm-hmm. So I think that for the owner occupant and the individual buyer or seller, things are really not that bad. They're still kind of hard for the buyers, but they're really not that terrible. But I think they are going to feel far worse than they are, just because it's going to be all over the news. It's going to be all over social media. And I think it's going to feel sort of gloomy. For investors, I think really the situation is a little different. I can't tell you how many investors have said to me in the past probably 5 years, I wish I had bought more real estate. I wish I hadn't sold my portfolio. I wish that I still owned everything I ever bought, et cetera, et cetera.
And Karen, you're speaking to one of those investors right now.
Am I? Okay.
Yeah.
So you understand. So for investors, we're moving back into the realm of really boundless opportunity. And that doesn't mean that we're scavengers or anything like that. What it means is when things are cooling, that's when you have the opportunity to acquire the way that you want to acquire, instead of the market forcing you to acquire in a way that either makes you feel tense, or that makes you expedite a timeline that shouldn't be expedited, that makes you borrow money at too high a rate. You know, whatever it is, we're moving into a period where investors are going to have more control if they are willing to look regionally and locally for the right kinds of opportunities to control.
Yes, 100%. So, you know, if I had a different viewpoint, I'd love to share, but I'm with you. So number one, we're already kind of seeing, I wouldn't call it a slowdown, but we're seeing buyers be more patient with some of the product that's out there that, you know, 6-12 months ago, they would have like scooped it up. Now they're just being a little more cautious. I do think you bring up an interesting point, and I happen to agree with it as far as the media out there and the coverage of the real estate market. I think it will have a direct or an indirect impact on just the way people think and kind of cautiously approach what they get involved in. I'm talking specifically for investors. But I think what's kind of interesting about our conversation, and a couple months ago, I got back from a mastermind, and, you know, I was in a room with a lot of smart people that I consider a lot smarter than me. And, you know, many of them were saying, now's a really good time to take some chips off the table. You know, make sure that you're in a good position financially, so that when the market turns, you can go shopping, you know, and you can essentially pick up really, really good deals. I mean, regardless of the market, there's good deals out there right now. So they're not saying don't buy right now. They're saying just make sure you're buying quality assets. You know, if you're a fix and flipper, you know, make sure that you're staying in a price range where you can be in and out of a project in 3 months. And if it took you longer, you still have enough margin, enough spread in that deal where you're going to do okay. Where we're particularly in here in South Florida, where we're seeing a bit of a slowdown is, you know, properties over 300,000. It's taking longer for those properties to move. I will give you a perfect example, Carol. We recently contracted a property for 295,000 that has an after repaired value of 450. A year ago, we would have easily sold that property at 320, 325, no problem. Mm-hmm. Now, we can't sell that property for 320, 325. We have to sell it for 300 or 305, and it's a tiny spread for us. So we're already kind of starting to see a bit of a slowdown. But, you know, think about some of the assets and the resources you have now, and how can you put yourself in a position where, you know, if the market does completely turn in 6 months, 12 months, 18 months, you're well positioned. And it doesn't even necessarily have to be, Carol, in my opinion, that you have a bunch of money, but, you know, what's your unique ability? What do you bring to the table that you can potentially line up in the form of resources to take advantage of opportunities, whether that be through joint ventures, or just other creative ways, you know, self-directed accounts, which I know we're going to kind of touch on today's show. There's a lot of ways that you can position yourself heading into kind of a market downturn.
I completely agree. And I think the other thing that is really good to consider right now, especially if you are in one of those sort of more volatile strategies like wholesaling or fix and flipping, this is the Wild West as far as market coolings go. I mean, there have never been iBuyers before. In 2006 and 2007, there were not iBuyers out there waiting to take, you know, make random offers that none of us will ever know about because some homeowner decided they wanted to sell their house yesterday. Mm-hmm. So they're affecting the market. The level of foreign involvement and the access because of cryptocurrency, unprecedented. Airbnb, you know, the short-term versus long-term rental discussion is completely different than it was in the last bubble and bust. And quite frankly, this is not a bubble and bust. Like, this is just a cooling and a leveling, in my opinion, unless we lose our heads.
Yeah.
So I really feel like, especially the people whose strategy has always been like, I think on my feet, I'm really fast. Well, those wholesalers and flippers, you know, they're really well positioned to be the cowboys in this one. And, you know, really they're the ones that I think are going to come up with some of the most incredible coping strategies and profit strategies as the next 12 to 18 months evolve.
Yeah, no, I'm completely with you. And this is, by the way, you know, nobody knows exactly what's going to happen, when it's going to happen, but it's important that you start being kind of intentional and strategic. And, you know, when the market turns, that's not the time for you to kind of try to position yourself and figure out what's the next step. Like, you need to kind of give that some thought now and start putting a plan in place, right?
Well, absolutely. And I think you're probably one of the people I've always heard drive home the most about exit strategies and having alternate plans. And I think now is the time to start thinking about it. So, and like you said, pulling in some of that capital so that you have options when whatever happens, happens.
Yeah. Have you, from all the people you've interviewed, Carol, you know, conversations maybe you've had with Brian or, you know, other successful people, what have you heard a lot of different viewpoints as to, you know, when the market's going to turn, what that's going to look like and how it's going to impact investors? Or are you kind of hearing a lot of what you and I are discussing right now?
I think that I would say the dominant vein of conversation is things are going to cool off, and the people who never experienced a cooling period before, the people who have been in this real estate market about one cycle versus even one and a half. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of them are going to leave the industry again. But it's a little bit different because our country, regardless of how you feel about politics, you know, it's more partisan than ever. So depending on what side you feel is the right one.
yeah.
You know, there are emotions are in play in a way that there weren't before. And so there are a lot of people that we talk to that say, well, you know, at the end of January, it's all going right down the tube. And you're like, you can't possibly really think that at the end of January, everything that's been building for the past, you know, 9 years is going down the tube. But everything is so emotional. I do think that it's sort of, I think that it could go either way. I think a lot of whatever happens in housing for investors is going, if we're not careful, going to be emotionally driven instead of numbers driven.
Sure. Sure. Are there any particular like resources, whether it's websites or, you know, aside from obviously the newsletter that you guys publish, which is of course, that's the obvious one, right? But, in addition to that, are there other resources that you would say, hey, look, here are some good places to kind of, you know, that way you can keep a finger on the pulse as far as the market and how politics impact, you know, real estate at a local level, at a national level, et cetera?
You bet. I think one of the best things to watch, even if you are not interested in investing in it personally, is the multifamily market. And obviously, Yardi Matrix. I love Yardi. I like how straightforward their data is. I also love that they have someone who, if you reach out, will probably break down a report for you and explain to you how it works.
Yes.
But being able to look at multifamily data. I was at IMN not that long ago, listening to those people talk about what they're doing. For example, the big theme at that meeting was Jacksonville. Just being able to hear them say, here's what we're buying in the 50 unit plus range and why in Jacksonville. Here's why we're putting our couple million dollars of development funds toward Jacksonville. Then you can kind of say, okay, well, what these guys are saying really has nothing to do with politics. It has to do with the technology corridor or you know, whatever it is. And so I really like watching the big buildings and where the money for those are going. Same thing in Nashville, who they just got the HQ2. No, they didn't get HQ2, but they did get like a 5,000 job distribution center.
Yes.
Well, there's a guy in Nashville named Bruce McNeilage, and he built this. He made a couple of headlines a couple of years ago because he filled up a football stadium selling affordable condos.
Oh, wow.
And so if you look at where stuff like that is going, you say, okay, well, what's he doing? Well, he's off trying to find public-private money because he thinks that's going to be the key to building single-family and multifamily properties. Mm-hmm. That's the sort of thing, got nothing to do with politics. Everybody needs somewhere to live.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of thing that I think really helps. Look at the Chamber of Commerce, read the local newspaper. Even if you happen to have a good local newspaper that runs op-eds from businesses and businessmen and women, mm-hmm. read them and watch what those people are doing.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. And so I'm glad that you mentioned that, because those are a few that I hadn't even really considered. I mean, some of the ones that a guy by the name of Ken Wade puts out, I think it's housingalerts.com. So I haven't, honestly, just to be totally transparent, I haven't used Housing Alerts, but I've known Ken for years and I've heard great things about Housing Alerts. IRR.com is another website that gives a lot of information on commercial real estate. But a lot of it, there's a lot of crossover, you know, like we were just talking about. So it's important, you know, to just kind of keep an eye on some of those things, and you don't have to become an expert in it, but, you know, understand what's going on in the marketplace nationally, at a local level. And then of course, you know, I know this is not really along the lines of what we're talking about, but you know, if you just invest in yourself, not just from a personal development standpoint, but like if you're a student of marketing, if you're a student of sales, regardless of what the market does, you're not going to like go broke. You know what I mean? I truly believe that. Like you're your biggest asset, your biggest investment, which is why like I'm always beating the drum about, you know, investing in yourself in the form of masterminds or coaches, consultants, you know, just connecting with high level people, because I think that's, you know, regardless of what the market does, you know, you're going to be in a good position if you just invest in yourself and you're a student of some of these different areas. So just wanted to kind of throw that in there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, Carol, one of the things I definitely wanted to touch on is, investing in real estate through self-directed accounts.
Yes.
You know, so Roth IRAs, solo 401ks, et cetera. There's a bunch of them out there. This is kind of a huge topic, and there's only so much we're going to be able to cover in the next, you know, 10 minutes or so, but where do we even begin? I know I'm kind of doing a poor job here as the host of even like tossing out a question for you, but you know, here's where I'll kind of start. You and I were talking before we jumped on the podcast here that, you know, a year and a half ago or so, I thought that I would have to have a bunch of money in a self-directed account like a Roth to get involved in real estate. And I realized that wasn't the case. I had a Roth with a small amount of money. It was like 10 grand. And I loaned it out, you know, to a financial friend, and I'm going to earn a pretty healthy return. And that, you know, it's that money now is going to grow in a tax-free environment, which is obviously one of the huge benefits of self-directed accounts. Can you kind of talk to us a little bit about how we can leverage self-directed accounts to get involved in real estate? What are some of the kind of the pitfalls and just your overall thoughts and strategies as far as that's concerned?
Absolutely. Now, I love to talk about this, so you should stop me if I go too long.
No. You're the expert here, so go.
So probably the best place to start is what you said. I thought I had to have a boatload of money already in a retirement account for me to do this. And then you discovered that it was actually much more straightforward. That's probably the biggest stumbling block for self-directed investors, is that they don't realize the issue is not that you have to have a special account. The issue is that you have to have someone holding your account, your custodian, your administrator, that is willing to let you self-direct. So it's not that complicated to get set up. You can either set up a new account if you don't have one. I don't know if I'm allowed to say people I love here, but tell me if I am.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so there's a guy named Mike Ventry at Advanta IRA, and he used to be a mortgage originator, and he understands real estate investors. And they're in Atlanta, but they're national. Okay. If you don't have an account, you can basically call Advanta, say, Mike, I need one, and he'll help you figure out what you can do. You can also, obviously, before you do that, you would probably want to do some research so you know a little bit about what you want. But you could do that on our website. So anyway, the point is, one, it's not that hard to get an account. You don't have to have a company set it up for you, or like you don't have to be an employee somewhere. And two, you don't really have to have very much money in it. You can start, the most important thing is to get a little bit of money in there. And when I say a little, I mean, you can even start with a couple of $100s. And then not say, okay, well, I'm just going to put in a couple $100s a year until I have $10,000. You need to immediately start being creative, which is what real estate investors are the best at. Mm-hmm. Start thinking about the assets that you either have or the knowledge that you have that you can use to leverage whatever money you've got in there. Sort of the traditional thought process for a real estate investor is, I'm going to do X strategy. I'm going to do it in my self-directed IRA or 401k. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to save a boatload of money on taxes. I'm going to be hugely tax advantaged. That is right, but it's also dangerous if you are a flipper or a wholesaler specifically, because there are a lot of, actually, there aren't that many rules. It's just there are a few rules, and they're super important about what you do with the money in your self-directed IRA or 401k. And one of the things is you can't directly benefit from it. And you really, the easiest way to think of it is you probably shouldn't touch it much. You should. So even though there are people who will say, and I'm not going to say it never works, oh, you can flip. You can flip in your IRA. You can fix and flip. You can wholesale. Very, very risky. So before you even like put that out in the universe that you might do that, you need to talk to your personal tax professional, your personal financial advisor about that. But what you can do is you can take money from the deals that you're doing outside and you can put it in, even if it's just a little bit. And there are a number of things that you can do. You can make small or large private loans. You can invest it in a variety of tax advantaged ways, whether it's maybe investing in, I don't know, intellectual property. There are a lot of things like that that you can do that don't require you to physically touch the property or touch the money. You're not directly handling it.
Yeah.
That a lot of investors who are flipping and wholesaling don't realize is even an option. They kind of think, oh, well, I just got to save up enough to where I can buy a turnkey property. That's great. And turnkey properties are great in a self-directed account, but it's absolutely not your only option.
So Carol, is this something that you know, for people that either have self-directed accounts or are looking to set those up, I mean, as far as the rules are concerned, do you advise and recommend that they have a tax attorney on their team or somebody that can kind of guide them, or will their custodian, if it's a good custodian, would they be able to advise on this?
Can I talk about Self-Directed Investor Society just a little bit?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. So here's the thing that you need to know. You need a good custodian, but the best custodian in the world is still legally and professionally and ethically obligated not to guide you.
Mm-hmm. That's which makes sense.
Not, you know, they're not allowed to do it, because if they do it wrong, they've done a terrible thing to your retirement account. They've done a terrible thing to themselves professionally. So your custodian needs to be the best, most understanding and empathetic custodian possible, but you need somebody on your side. So you need someone, obviously, I think Self-Directed Investor Society, SDI Society, is the best. But you need to be responsible up front for your education so that you can have a conversation with a custodian, with a tax professional, with your accountant, whoever it is, and say, this is what I think I want to do. Can you look at my specific situation? I don't think you necessarily need to retain a lawyer. If you're a member of SDI Society, you actually have access to several of our professionals on like an ongoing basis and you can ask them questions.
Okay.
So I wouldn't say you necessarily have to retain someone, but you do need to understand there are things called prohibited transactions. And those are things that if you do, you will owe fines, fees, and penalties, and you may not know that you've done them for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
They're not necessarily things that will burn your hand when you touch them. Like if you put your hand down on a stove, it would hurt. Mm-hmm. They might burn your hand 10 years from now and just, you know, sort of, you know, demolish your all your hard work. So it's really important to understand those really basic things. A lot of them have to do with what you're allowed to invest in and what you're not allowed to invest in, and also have to do with touching that money or that property, as the case may be.
Yeah.
Once you understand those, then at that point, you're able to say, okay, now I can have an educated conversation with my custodian. Now I can have an informed conversation with my retirement planner. And if your retirement planner doesn't know what you're talking about and says, impossible, you know, that's not even legal, you probably need to get a second opinion, just like you would with a doctor, because a lot of them don't understand it, but now you're educated enough that you do.
Yeah. And that's, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I think especially, I feel like there's a lot of misinformation when it comes to investing, you know, in self-directed accounts. And you mentioned prohibitive transactions. I mean, about a year ago, I attended a 2-day workshop essentially, I was exposed to the fact that there are so many prohibitive transactions that it almost scares you from doing anything. But that's why it's important to have, you know, whether it's, you know, SDI Society or like just somebody on your team, resources that you can kind of, you know, tap into and make sure that you're getting involved. If you're going to invest with your self-directed account, that you're doing it the right way. Because like you said, Carol, I mean, you may not know that you're doing something wrong, and then 5-10 years later, it can bite you in the ass.
Yeah.
So got it. Okay. Awesome. So, hey, listen, I want to kind of start to wrap up the show here. I definitely want you to, you know, let people know where they can find out more about SDI Society, how they can connect with you. Definitely the newsletter, because I think that's a really, really bad. And SDI Society, I think, can be really, really valuable resources, you know, for people listening. But before we get to that, this is kind of a question I always ask every guest I have on here. And I just kind of want your raw, unfiltered first thing that, you know, kind of pops into your mind here. But you're super young. If you were going to kind of rewind the clock 10, 15 years, what's the one piece of advice you would share with yourself? And this can be about life, business, relationships, health. I mean, if you could just kind of boil it down to one thing, knowing what you know now, what do you think that would be for you?
Alex, that's so hard. You should have told me.
I know. I hate to put you on the spot here, but that's kind of, by the way, I never ever prep or even mention to the, you know, the guests I'm having on that I'm going to ask that question. Cause you know, part of my goal, honestly, before I let you speak here, is I want to like take all the pieces of wisdom and advice and the answers over the last, you know, several, what, 100 or plus, you know, expert interviews I've done, and combine them into a document and just give those away, because I think there's a lot of power and wisdom and insight in people's answers. So there's no right or wrong. Just kind of curious what that would be for you.
And I appreciate you giving me that extra time to think, and it did not help me. I don't know. I guess, so let's see, let me think. If we go back 15 years, I'm almost 40. So if we go back 15 years, I would be 25. And that's really when everything kind of started to gel. I mean, that's when I was writing. Okay, I know. So I'm a reporter, and I'm a technical writer in addition to being, you know, to doing the things I do in real estate. And I think that as a younger woman, like when I was still in college, mm-hmm. I felt like there were things that I could not understand or learn. Yeah. Just because, you know, you're not a math person or you're not a reading person, things like that. And that is the biggest load of foolishness ever. If you can find someone who can explain it to you and you are patient enough with yourself and patient enough with them, you can learn anything. And I don't mean like you should go do heart surgery on someone, but right. you can understand heart surgery so that you can have a conversation someday when you need a triple bypass, for example.
Yeah. Right.
And I think that would just, don't be afraid to say you don't know how to do it, but don't ever say, I can't understand it. Because if you can find the right communicator, you will. And that's really what I've spent the last 15 years doing, is learning to communicate about really important topics in our industry.
Yeah, no, I love that, Caro. And just to kind of piggyback and really drive that point home is, you know, I've even been guilty of this in the past, is, you know, sometimes, you know, I might have a conversation with someone and I don't want to ask what I might consider to be a stupid question, but at the end of the day, you don't know what you don't know. And, you know, don't feel shy to ask questions. If you're coming from the right place, you genuinely want to learn, you know, ask, find out, you know, because if you don't, you're never going to know, you're never going to learn. And so, like you said, you know, don't think you can't learn something. You're never too young. You're never too old. And you know, I think this kind of ties in perfectly to what I was sharing earlier, Caro, about you're the best investment you can possibly make, you know? And you should always have that mindset of growth and just wanting to be better the next day than you were today and better today than you were yesterday. So I love that. Sorry, I didn't mean to kind of, you know, put you on the spot there, but I think that's great advice.
Well, it's totally fine. I needed somebody to do it because I didn't have a good answer to that one. But I would also say it's a little bit of a litmus test. If you say to someone, I don't understand, and they say, and they're dismissive of you instead of trying to help you understand, they may not be a bad person, but they're not on your team yet. Maybe they will be in the future, yeah. but at this point in time, they are not on your team if they're not willing to clarify.
You know, that's a great point, and I hadn't even thought about it from that angle and perspective. Yeah, I think you're spot on. Yeah, definitely. Thanks. Awesome, Caro. So where do people connect with you? I know, obviously, we talked about, you know, self-directed. I think, what's it called? Self-directed society?
Self-directed Investor Society. That's okay. SDIsociety.org. And our daily news service is REIwire.com. So real estate investing, REIwire.com.
Beautiful. Perfect. And we'll definitely include these in the show notes page like we always do. So Caro, I really, really appreciate you taking the time. It's been awesome to get you on. I'm kind of kicking myself for not thinking of having you on much, much earlier, but I'm glad we finally got it. You know, send my regards and my love over to Brian. And I just really appreciate, you know, us working together all those years ago and just, you know, the relationship we've built throughout the years.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure. I look forward to talking to you again.
Awesome. Take care, everybody. Look forward to catching with you on the next show. Take care.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.